From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, refusing to take no for an answer, House Republicans held a shadow hearing on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act at the Capitol Visitor Center earlier today. Over 80 times, members of the GOP have asked for an up or down vote on the House floor, only to be denied by Speaker Nancy Pelosi. One of the members who participated in today's hearing, Dr. Roger Marshall, congressman from Kansas, joins us a bit later. We'll also talk with Melissa Oden, an abortion survivor who testified at today's hearing. And one of the arguments the opponents of the Born Alive bill have used repeatedly is that it's not necessary. It's a solution in search of a problem. Well, the problem was clearly articulated last week in a courtroom where the CEO of the biotech firm Stem Express, which was the subject of David DeLayden's undercover videos, was on the stand providing graphic and chilling details about their harvesting of baby body parts, making the case for why the law is in fact needed. One of the attorneys with the Thomas More Society that is on the case will join us later with details. Also, President Trump was in North Carolina last night for a rally in advance of today's special congressional election there in the state. Many media pundits on the left are saying that if the Republicans lose these seats, it could portend trouble for Trump in 2020. Of course, no discussion of what it would mean if Republicans win the election. North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest was at the rally last night, and he joins me in just a few minutes. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins, which I'm still there until I'm deplatformed. That's at T Perkins. The website, again, you can find all kinds of information at TonyPerkins.com, including information about how you can be a part of this year's Values Voter Summit, October the 10th through the 13th here in Washington, D.C., a gathering of conservatives that you won't want to miss. Find out more about how you can be a part of this. Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, as I mentioned, President Trump took the stage in North Carolina's 9th congressional district last night ahead of a special election to throw his support behind Republican candidate Dan Bishop. Now, Bishop is facing Democratic candidate Dan McCready today in a very high-profile special election, which was ordered after there were questions over absentee ballot fraud discovered in the 2018 election. This seat has remained vacant all of that time. Now, the race has become, according to the media, a test case for national Democratic and Republican observers looking for clues to guide their messaging in the 2020 election. Joining me now is the Republican Lieutenant Governor of the state of North Carolina, highest Republican official, Governor Dan Forrest. Lieutenant Governor, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me on. It's always great to be with you.
Well, good to have you on the program. I know that you're busy taking care of a lot of things. You were at the rally last night. I know that the president also attempted to survey the damage from the most recent hurricane. You guys are starting to be like Louisiana, attracting a lot of hurricanes there in North Carolina, but it wasn't as bad this time as the last hurricane.
No, I mean, we didn't get a free pass on it. There's certainly folks out on the Outer Banks, especially Cedar Island, Ocracoke Island, and Hatteras Island, the very, you know, very fragile barrier islands in North Carolina that took really the direct hit of the storm as a Category 1 and put a lot of people underwater. You know, we, like you, Tony, we deal with flooding, as you've personally dealt with, but we deal with flooding here. It seems to be more than wind. You know, the structural nature of how things are built today seem to withstand a lot of the wind damage nowadays, but the flooding is becoming increasingly bad in our state, so that's what we've dealt with again in this storm. But it was wasn't a free pass, but it certainly could have been a whole lot worse based on what the storm was doing and did in the Bahamas.
Yes, well, of course, you know, if you're one of those that are affected, it's more than significant. So, but from a standpoint of being able or taxing the resources and the responses, it's certainly better when you don't get the whole brunt of the storm. So we're obviously continuing to.
And you and I both have experienced this. Both of us have lost our homes from these things, and it's kind of a unique little thing we both have in common.
Yeah, and so it makes you a lot more sensitive to that. And I think that's, you know, certainly from your perspective as a lieutenant governor, I know you've been involved in the responses to several of these storms. And it just, when you personally walk through that, it just makes it that much more real. Also, speaking of that, you were last night with the president there in North Carolina, the president having that rally in Fayetteville. Describe a little bit about the rally. The president spoke for quite some time, and it looked like the crowd was pretty enthusiastic.
First let me set the stage for you, because he's been here, I don't know how many times, probably about 30 times now since he's been running for president the first time. And he just had a rally here a month or so ago in Greenville, which is not too far from Fayetteville, that had a packed house. And that one was, 100-degree heat. This one's the same way. And, we go out, what we do ahead of time is we go out and actually work the lines and shake hands with all these people, while they're waiting in line, shake 8,000 hands. And it's little, I'm not exaggerating, it was 100% humidity out there, and it was really hot. People been waiting in line for, 8 hours to get in there. And it's just unbelievable to see the energy behind the president. It's not wavering at all, as the media would want you to think. So the energy is really high, and people are very excited. They're definitely still supporting the president here in North Carolina. And, the president, he's very comfortable in his skin right now. You'll never see that in the media, but he's very comfortable. Don Jr. led off, and he did a great job. And Dan Bishop was able to speak, who's running for that ninth congressional seat, and as well as Greg Murphy, who's running in the third district. That's one that's not mentioned much, but we have two special elections today in North Carolina. So the president's favorability amongst his base is still very strong.
And you're right. The media doesn't portray that. The media is, what's really interesting, the Media Research Center just had a report out that said that the media is so focused on hammering President Trump that there's not even airtime left for the Democratic presidential candidates. I mean, 90% of the coverage of Trump is negative, but that's squeezing out the Democratic candidates from getting media coverage.
Yeah, it really is pretty unbelievable. I was watching the coverage of the hurricane. We have a hurricane hitting North Carolina. It was literally the day of the hurricane hitting. And what did CNN talk about all day long was a line that Trump drew on a map and said Alabama could be in line for this thing. All he's doing was projecting out the center of that storm that kept on that track. Even NOAA said that he was right, but CNN spent an entire day not talking about the storm hitting North Carolina or what was going on in South Carolina. All they talked about was that Trump somehow fudged weather maps showing where the storm was going. It's just ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous. But you're right. I mean, to Donald Trump's credit, he has a way of making sure that the media is staying focused on him and nobody else is going to get any airtime.
It's quite amazing that they're so obsessed with being opposed to this president and his policies that they make a mountain out of a molehill. As you said, you talk about this little line going into Alabama, and they spent not just the day, but literally the media has been focused on that for a week. It really makes no sense. But, this is not – it goes back to the 2015, going into the 2016 election, that they focused so heavily on Trump. They didn't give much airtime to his rivals in the Republican Party and as well in the Democratic Party. And it bode well for him then. Even the negative coverage, it seems to be that people – kind of sense that, look, the media is not on our side. They're against the president. Therefore, I'm on the president's side is the only thing I can figure out in the reverse of this.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how I see it as well. And, obviously, if you're sitting there watching CNN and do this kind of stuff and you're a conservative, it just solidifies your case against the media and the fake news and everything else. I mean, listen, I've been lieutenant governor for 7 years. I've been doing this for 9 years, from running for lieutenant governor to serving as lieutenant governor. And during that period of time, I have never had one single positive story written about me in a newspaper or on TV during that entire time. Not one.
Wow.
And so if they're going to do anything, it's always a gotcha. They're even going to call you. They want to kind of get you with some negative somewhere. And that's what the president lives with 24/7. He lives with that, and I think it just bodes well for him, because what you see is you see these spin doctors in D.C. and in New York who are so focused on that, the rest of the world is passing them by. They don't even know what's going on in the rest of the world. They assume, because they live in that little circle that they live in, and they're talking in each other's ears, that everybody else in the country feels that way, and that's not the way it works. And that's why Donald Trump won last time, was because the average person out there gets it now. They understand it. The fact that they trust the media less than they trust Congress should tell you all that you need to know.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. My guest in our first segment here, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest of North Carolina, talking about the president's trip to North Carolina last night, Fayetteville, on the eve of two special elections. The one that's focused on the most intently is the 9th Congressional District there in North Carolina. These candidates benefiting, in your perspective, from the president coming into the state based upon what you're seeing there on the ground?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, for one, you know, here we are on September 10th, today's election day. Who in the world knows? Right? And these special elections or the primaries that we have, nobody even knows it's voting day. So the president coming, the vice president was here as well with the president last night. The fact that they come into town just draws awareness to the fact that there is an election. So I think that's a very positive thing. I think that what you've seen with Dan Bishop's race, as you've seen him peaking at the right time against Dan McCready, and I think that's going to bode well for him in the ninth. And it never hurts. I don't think it ever hurts when the president shows up on your behalf, and, especially in North Carolina, especially in this district that Dan Bishop is running in. So I think that he's going to do well today. I'm going to two victory parties. I'm going to go tonight to Greg Murphy's victory party in Greenville, North Carolina, and then I'm going to go to Dan Bishop's in Union County tonight as well. So I'm planning on having two victories for a congressional seat.
Now, speaking of special election, Lieutenant Governor, today, Election Day, we've got a lot of listeners in North Carolina. The polls are open there until 7 p.m., so if folks have not yet voted, they still have time to get to the polls and vote in these special elections, and it's important that they do so.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Don't ever assume that your vote doesn't count or it doesn't matter. These things, nobody, like I said, nobody knows there's even an election today. And people need to get out there and show up for Dan Bishop and for Greg Murphy. Don't assume that, you know, it doesn't matter, because these things are going to be tight elections. They're going to come down to a few votes. There's only going to be, you know, handfuls of thousands of people voting in these things to send people to Congress to represent you and to support the president and what he's doing up there. So, yeah, so absolutely get out and do that. You know, you kind of mentioned on your lead, Tony, if I may, that, you know, this is going to be a referendum on the president. No such thing, regardless of what happens, whether it's positive or negative. I don't think that's true. Donald Trump's not on the ballot right now. Donald Trump's people are not showing up on the ballot, just like the last election in 2018 was not a referendum on Trump because he's not on the ballot. When he's on the ballot in 2020, that'll be a referendum.
Yeah, but trying to convince the media of that. Of course, if the Republicans win, as it looks like they will there in North Carolina, all that talk will end, I'm sure.
That's right.
Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Great talking to you as always, Tony. Talk to you later. Bye now.
All right. All right, folks, if you do live in North Carolina, be sure and get out and vote. Polls stay open until 7 p.m. And by the way, Washington Watch, Family Research Council, we do not endorse or support any candidates. We support and endorse your responsibility to be engaged and to be voting. So go out and vote if you live in North Carolina. All right, coming up next, House Republicans holding a shadow hearing on Capitol Hill today on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Dr. Roger Marshall, Congressman from Kansas, joins us next.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Time Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Do you want to protect and promote religious freedom, the sanctity of life, free speech, and our children's educations? Today we see a growing threat against our values on the news, on our college campuses, in our elementary schools, at our public libraries, and in our courts. Every year in Washington, D.C., thousands of conservatives attend FRC Action's Values Voters Summit. From October 11th to the 13th, come to our nation's capital to mingle with and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington, D.C. And learn how you can, too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and U.S. House and Senate leaders. The 2020 elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. We provide free scholarships for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Are you looking for timely and honest coverage of the latest news? Do you find it difficult to sort out what is true and what is false from the media? Family Research Council is here to help. FRC President Tony Perkins' daily Washington Update email newsletter addresses the most important current events affecting religious freedom, the protection of life, marriage and family, and more, not only in Washington, but around the world. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from underreported stories about transgender activists' efforts to infiltrate our schools to updates on court cases fighting for religious freedom, parental rights, and the protection of life. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Learn more and subscribe by visiting frc.org/update. Again, that's frc.org/update.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. As I mentioned, a big day on Capitol Hill. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat majority in the House have blocked a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act more than 80 times. Now, this all began, just a little refresher here, in January, first of the year, when Governor Cuomo of New York essentially celebrated an infanticide bill, a bill that would allow babies to be terminated after they're born alive because of a botched abortion. Well, that animated a lot of people. In fact, we've seen states across the nation that have passed strong pro-life legislation in response to this. The president himself becoming very animated. In fact, his State of the Union address, one of the strongest addresses I've heard as it pertains to the issue of the sanctity of human life. Well, the Republican House, they've done their part 80 times, more than 80 times, going to the House floor asking for a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which simply says this, that if a baby survives the first attempt on their life via abortion, that medical attention must be given to that baby. That's it. Well, because the speaker would not allow for a hearing, Republican leaders had what we describe as a shadow hearing today in the Capitol Visitor Center. And it was entitled, End Infanticide, Examining Born Alive Infant Protection Act. Now, Congresswoman Ann Wagner of Missouri represents the 2nd District there, has been the lead sponsor. And this is what she had to say as she introduced this hearing today on Capitol Hill.
As a mother, as a grandmother, a legislator, and an advocate, I am grieved to find that we must defend something that I never thought Americans would have to fight for, life-saving care for babies that are born alive. But Congress has an opportunity to act Along with so many of my colleagues, I introduced H.R. 962, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. And we are thankful that a number of Democrats have boldly joined us in our efforts to bring this legislation to the floor against the wishes of their leadership. And we need more. Let me remind everyone, recent polling finds that over 70% of Americans who identify as Democrats support this legislation, but their representatives ignore their voices.
Well, joining me now to talk more about today's hearing on Capitol Hill is Dr. Roger Marshall, congressman for the 1st District of Kansas. He was there at the hearing. He serves on the Agriculture Committee as well as the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. Because he spent the majority of his career as a physician who delivered more than 5,000 babies, Congressman Marshall has a unique perspective on the need for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Congressman Marshall, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me, and I'm just so honored that you would take some time to talk about this very important issue, the murder of newborn babies. Infanticide is too nice of a term. They're murdering newborn babies that somehow miraculously survived an abortion, and we need to end this.
Let's cut right to the chase. This is about defining who we are as Americans. Are we going to allow babies who, first off, there's no hiding it. I'm opposed to abortion. You're opposed to abortion. But this is not about abortion. This is, you talked about, these are children who survive abortion, born alive, and refused medical care in some cases. In other cases, their lives are ended. This is horrific.
It is just absolutely incredible that you and I are talking about this, that I have to fight harder in the halls of Congress to protect babies than I did as an obstetrician. And that's exactly what I thought of as I walked over today for this hearing, was all the physicians, the nurses, all the people that were helping me protect babies and save newborns that were having problems, complications of birth. And here are babies that survived just a horrific experience, and they're being allowed to die, or they're not giving help. It's just amazing that we're even having this conversation. It's just one of the most embarrassing moments of the history of this country.
I mean, if you think about it, you put it in that context, Congressman, where as a physician, of course, the oath that you take, do no harm, that we're at a point in our nation where you, as a physician, would do everything you can as a child was born, if that child had complications, the mother had complications, to save the life of that baby. And we would move heaven and earth to do that. What's the difference between the life of that child and the life of another child that someone just says, I don't want? How is that different?
I'm at a loss. Obviously, it's not different. Every life is sacred. God knows, that the hairs on our head. He certainly thinks that every life is important. Every child is born is important and deserves. We all deserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the first thing we deserve is life. I just can't believe that anyone, I don't see how anyone could stay in a room and watch a baby be born, survive this horrid event, and then not want to render it all the help you can give. And, one thing that this legislation we're doing is going to empower that nurse that happened to be walking by or in that room, is going to allow that nurse to go forward and help with this baby and to call for help and call for physician help. So this will be a little proactive move as well, which is something that I'm glad we can do.
Now, Congressman, I know, again, this is nothing that you are not familiar with, but there was some testimony today. Dr. Kathy Altman, a retired OBGYN and a former abortion provider, shared her story in this hearing. Was there anything that struck? We're up against a break. I'm going to ask you to hold on because I want to get your thoughts about her testimony and the other testimony that was presented today in this hearing. And folks, we're also going to be hearing from Melissa Oden, who was a survivor of a failed abortion. And she told her story in a written testimony as well. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Don't go away, because there is a lot more Washington Watch to come right after this break.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood was using taxpayer dollars to perform abortions? Recently, the Trump administration made changes to a healthcare policy called Title 10. The changes to this policy now eliminate the loopholes organizations like Planned Parenthood were using to receive taxpayer funding for abortions. Planned Parenthood was hiding behind terms like reproductive health care and services like cancer screenings and contraception distribution, while in reality, they were making money off of abortions. This shift in funding will benefit community health centers that provide needy families with family planning resources and health services, regardless of their ability to pay. It will also benefit pregnancy resource centers that provide care and free resources to women who may be experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. This policy decision is the right move to help and protect American lives. To learn more, visit frc.org/Title 10. That's frc.org/Title 10.
Hi, my name is Bailey. I am serving as an intern at Family Research Council, and it has been a life-changing experience. Interns join FRC's team of experts as they embark upon the mission of advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. The FRC internship is a 12 to 15 week program designed to educate and inspire university students who are passionate about public service and who believe that a biblical worldview is fundamental to the reformation of government and culture. As interns, we receive the opportunity to work alongside and be personally and professionally developed by FRC's team of experts. This paid internship offers free housing in the heart of DC, which allows us to be fully immersed in the fast-paced political climate and to build a community with other faithful conservatives in our nation's capital. For more information and to apply, visit frc.org/internships. That's frc.org/internships.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. In fact, I've got resources up there for you, especially on today's topic. You can find out more about our guest. Also, the Baby Hat campaign that we're undertaking to bring a very visible, undeniable message to Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, to allow the House to vote on this. We're going to deliver 90,000 of the thermal baby hats, those newborn hats that newborns wear in the hospital, the blue and the pink. And you can be a part of that in helping us do that. To find out more about how you can do that, go to tonyperkins.com. $9 purchases one of those hats. As I said, we'll be delivering that to make a very visible, undeniable message. These babies should be welcomed into this world with the warmth of, you know, the arms of someone who loves them, a hat for their head, not a cold steel table on which they're left to die. On the line with me, Congressman Roger Marshall of Kansas, a doctor, delivered over 5,000 babies during his time as a doctor. He was there at the testimony today. I want to go back to the testimony of Dr. Kathy Altman, a retired OBGYN, former abortion provider. She shared her story. What stuck out about her story to you?
Well, Tony, you know, several things. She described who she was. Basically, she was an abortion doctor. That's what she did for a living. And even during her first pregnancy, she was doing abortions. And as she described her story, when she had her first baby herself, she had an awakening, you know, Paul, the way to you know, Damascus experience, where all of a sudden, you know, something stirred in her heart to say, this is a human life. All of these are human lives. Everyone with value. And it literally flipped her world upside down. And wow, what a courage she showed today by sharing all that. And it was very, very moving, and she has a great, great testimony. It's just amazing how God can use every one of us, every one of our stories, if we'll let him.
Were you pleased with how the shadow hearing went today?
Oh, I think so. I think, number one, we just see a large number of Congress members there. I think there was 40 only. There was standing room only. It's very sorrowful that we had to do this in the basement of the Capitol, that the Speaker of the House would not afford us the dignity of doing this in a place where maybe more press could get there, where there'd be more recognition what was going on. It's shameful that we can only get 3 Democrats to sign this petition. We need 14 more, and then it would force Speaker Pelosi to bring it to the House floor.
Well, we are going to continue to press that effort. 201 signatures right now, 218 needed for the discharge petition. And Congressman Marshall, I want to thank you again for your unyielding determination to restore the sanctity of human life here in our nation. So thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for your stand.
No, thanks for having me. I think the baby hat idea is a great idea. I just have all these great memories of ladies sitting back there knitting those little baby hats, and I think that's a great symbol and just a great gesture on your part. Will bring great meaning. So thanks so much for always going that extra mile and fighting for these babies.
All right. Congressman Marshall, thanks so much. Congressman Roger Marshall of Kansas represents the 1st District. If you find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Before I go on, we're going to bring in Melissa Oden here in just a moment, who survived an abortion at 7 months gestation. And she now has a ministry. She's the founder of the Abortion Survivors Network. And she provided written testimony to this hearing today. But I want to go back for just a moment. You heard Ann Wagner played a clip of her on this yesterday. We had Congressman Steve Scalise on. Look, I know that we're dealing with a very tough, difficult issue, and we're frustrated that we can't get a vote from Nancy Pelosi won't allow a vote. But you've got 201 members of Congress that have signed this discharge petition. You have some men and women of great conviction, deep conviction, here doing the right thing in our nation's capital. So know this, that there are men and women working hard to do the right thing. I was just up on Capitol Hill just a little bit ago, meeting with some of those members in the Senate, some of the senators, and they need your prayers and your encouragement. And they're fighting, and you need to have their back in prayer. Well, joining me now, as I mentioned, Melissa Oden. She is a survivor of an abortion and has been taking her message out across the nation, the founder of the Abortion Survivors Network. She provided written testimony to today's hearing. Melissa, welcome to Washington Watch. Melissa, you there? Oh, we're going to bring her here in just a second. Melissa, welcome to Washington Watch. Hello, Melissa?
Yes, can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, we got you. Sorry, I introduced you and you didn't hear me. Thanks. We're going to be up against a break for just a minute, so don't go anywhere when we come up against the break. But, well, there it is already. So I introduced you, but we're going to have to wait to hear from you on the other side of the break. Folks, Melissa Oden, a survivor of abortion, the founder of the Abortion Survivors Network. She survived a failed 1977 saline infusion abortion. And she has a network now, and she's taking this message out that this is not, as some would describe, a solution in search of a problem, but it is something that is definitely needed. And we're going to talk about that. Also, more to come, we're going to be talking with one of the attorneys from the Thomas More Law Society working on the David Dalyden case, in which testimony last week puts to rest that argument that this is not needed. All right, folks, don't go away. More Washington Watch to come right on the other side of this break.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics, but they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christian's call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C., and I would like to invite you to join my wife, Luana, and I, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the garden tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155. This is Washington Watch, and I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, in August of 1977... Melissa Odin's birth mother, a 19-year-old college student, had a saline infusion abortion at St. Luke's Hospital in Sioux City, Iowa. It didn't work. She survived. And she's here as a survivor, but also one that is fighting to protect the lives of other unborn children and born children who survive failed abortion attempts. Melissa, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I'm glad I could hear you this time.
Yeah, sorry about that. My timing's off today. We're trying to compress a lot of information in about this hearing today in a relatively short period of time. An hour is a long time, but with a lot of ground to cover. Tell our listeners your story, what happened after that attempted abortion in 1977.
Yeah, so I am one of those children that our culture is talking about. I should have been poisoned and scalded to death in that saline infusion. I was delivered in the final step of that procedure, and of course they believed that I would be delivered as a successful abortion, a deceased child. But here I was, accidentally born alive 42 years ago. And, you know, circumstances like mine definitely fit that hearing today, Tony. I now know that when I was delivered alive, there were demands made to leave me to die there at the hospital. It was actually my own grandmother who was a nurse and was highly responsible for that forced abortion, but she demanded that I be left to die. And, you know, gratefully for me, there were nurses on staff at that hospital who defied her orders. I was under respiratory distress, as you can imagine. And I now know that there was at least one nurse that rushed me off to that NICU that day because, in her words, she was unwilling to just leave me there to die.
Obviously, that for a baby, traumatic, as you described, health consequences at birth. What have been the long-term consequences for you physically for that, from that?
Yeah, I mean, I was near death within about 5 minutes. Gratefully, I survived at a hospital. If I would have been at a clinic, they wouldn't have had the means necessary, nor would they have had any interest in providing me medical care. So, you know, I suffered from severe respiratory, liver problems. I suffered from seizures. The doctors thought I had a fatal heart defect initially. So I was incredibly blessed that someone fought for me and that I was there at a hospital to be provided medical care. Every child deserves the same opportunity I was given.
And again, that would have only happened had you been at a hospital and someone took the initiative to give you that life-saving care, which is what we're talking about here in the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, is that children who survive that first attempt on their lives, they survive the failed abortion, that medical attention will be given to them. It will not be denied them. To me, that is a definition of humanity, is what it is.
Absolutely. It is basic human decency. And, you know, I'll be really honest, for someone like me and the survivors that I work with, it is really offensive, Tony, to see the Democrats continuing to block this bill time and time again. You know, I'm grateful for, it sounds like, three Democrats that were there today. But to me, this is an issue of human decency.
I appreciate you joining us in your testimony. You're going to actually be at the Values Voter Summit talking about this, because this is going to be an issue that is prominently featured at the Values Voter Summit, because I do think this is a defining issue for our culture. What would you say to those who are repeating what the opponents of this bill say, that it's not necessary? This is a solution in search of a problem.
Well, first of all, there are only 19 states that require medical care to be provided to abortion survivors. Also, there are only 5 states that report out statistics on survivors. And we know of, in those 5 states, in 2017, there were 25 children like me who survived abortion. My question is, how many will it take for them to do something?
Very good question. We're waiting for the answer. Melissa Oden, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you in October at the Values Voter Summit.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you. Melissa Oden, to find out more, you can go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and follow the links over to the work that Melissa is doing, being a voice for other children like herself. I'm going to transition now, actually, to more evidence. That final question that I asked Melissa about those who put forth this argument that it's not needed. This is just these are people that have a solution in search of a problem. It's just not needed. Well, last week, the CEO of the biotech firm Stem Express. Now, this is the entity that David DeLeiden went undercover with videos, and they were the ones trafficking in the human baby body parts, okay? They admitted, the CEO of Stem Express admitted in court last week, the end of last week, that they were selling beating baby hearts, intact baby heads. This was a hearing in San Francisco, California. Now, as I mentioned, the confession came in the midst of the trial of David DeLeiden, who recorded the abortion industry operatives. It's all, you know, tied up to Planned Parenthood and this whole market this trafficking in baby body parts. Well, joining me now is Tom Brekka. He's an attorney with the Thomas More Society. He is the president and chief counsel of the Thomas More Society. He was in the courtroom last week when this confession was made. Tom, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you very much.
Tom, this is... go ahead.
I'm just outside the courthouse, so there's a little background noise. The proceedings are going on. I've left my helpers in charge.
Well,
I hear people talking, I apologize for that.
No, it's fine. I know, and I should have mentioned that the court, the hearing is still going on, so I appreciate you stepping out. But this is some, I think, quite a significant revelation that was made in the courtroom last week from the CEO of STEM Express, that these baby, their hearts were still beating. That tells me that they were born alive, does it not?
Well, that's certainly the theory of our defense, part of the defense. You know, David and his helper, Sandra Merritt, charged each with 15 felonies for their undercover reporting. And one of the defenses to undercover reporting, when it's not consented to in California, but it's a defense, is if there's a reasonable belief that the recording was done for the purpose of discovering evidence relating to a crime of violence against human beings. Well, that's precisely what we're trying to show. And by the way, I'm under a gag order, so I can't confirm or deny who Doe number 12 was. Doe 12 was the, my goodness, there's a horn going off.
Well, you don't have to do it. I'll fill in the blanks. But the, you know, it's also, the by the way,
yeah.
By the way, Tom, as an attorney, you also know
sure.
that it's a crime not to report a felony.
Well, that's another big issue in the case, and I think an undercurrent of it. And you know, it's just these gag orders, the suppression, not only in the criminal case here, but in the civil racketeering case. It's supposed to go to jury trial maybe in a month if this criminal proceeding is finished by then. We're under more restrictions, all aimed at keeping the truth from the people, the citizens of our country, who need to hear this truth.
It is something
that happens regularly. One of the witnesses in our depositions, our pretrial interviews under oath, was a fetal parts researcher who testified, get this, and this came up in court last Friday as well, that regularly babies are expelled from the womb with hearts beating. Regularly. It happens often, she said. And when confronted with that, Doe 12, the lady we're talking about, said, oh, well, she would be surprised. She had never seen that happen. And yet, you know, asked about what her company was doing, she had to admit, yes, there is a procedure called Langendorf perfusion. And I'm not a scientist, so I may be butchering the pronunciation, where a heart is preserved for study or transplantation. A beating heart is excised and attached to a nutrient tap put in a solution to keep the heart beating outside of the body. Now, if the heart is beating outside of the body with a view toward ending the life of that infant, if it's not a transplantation, I beg your pardon, there goes a cement mixer driving by the courthouse here. That to David and to us as his lawyers, is a clear-cut case of homicide. So to say that he did not have reasonable belief that he was going to be discovering in it through his undercover videoing evidence of a serious crime of violence against human beings, I think it's a slam dunk here. On the other hand, this is going against the strong pro-death culture and that the law, unfortunately, has been infected with. So it's an uphill battle, but we hope and we intend to prevail.
Well,
the issue here is whether there's a reasonable basis for bringing these felony charges, and we think there's no basis whatever for them. We think the defendants ought to be hailed as heroes.
And I would agree. And I also want to commend you and Thomas More Society for taking up this cause and providing the defense for David and Sandra in what I think is the reason there's a, in my, this is my opinion, you don't have to acknowledge or agree with it, But my opinion is the reason the gag order has been placed, the reason they have the pro-abortion community has come after David is because this could unravel everything for them by pulling back the curtain on what the abortion industry is really all about.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think the more they come after us, the more they're going to find the truth coming out despite their efforts at suppression. And I hope that the country is ready to act on it.
Well, Tom, continue standing, and we'll be praying for your success there in the courtroom.
Thank you very much.
All right, Tom Brekka, President and Chief Counsel of the Thomas More Society. As I said, he's just stepped outside the courtroom there where the hearing is going on. Look, in fact, it was one of the testimonies today in the shadow hearing was, and I don't know if I have it in front of me, but let's see. No, I don't think I have it in front of me. But there's a recognition that America, as they begin to see through technology and through stuff like what David DeLayden did with the undercover videos of STEM Express, what Lila Rose did with her undercover videos of Planned Parenthood, which I wrote about in my book, No Fear. Americans are beginning to see what this is all about. The curtain has been pulled back on the abortion industry, and that's why they've gone after David. I mean, David and Sandra have gone through a tremendous amount of opposition from the abortion industry and from their politicians in positions of influence because they do not want the American public to see behind that curtain. And this revelation in the courtroom in San Francisco last week should put to rest this fallacious argument that the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act is not needed. It is. The testimony under oath, these are baby hearts, beating baby body hearts that are coming out of babies who are alive that were being trafficked, they're being sold. Folks, I want to encourage you to be praying for this issue. I want you to be engaged in this issue. Join our Baby Hat campaign. There are many issues, and there's a lot of issues, and we've got to address all these issues. But this is one of those issues, the shedding of innocent blood. And the left goes crazy when you draw the parallels to Scripture, and especially in the Old Testament, and the sacrificing of babies, and that was a part of God's judgment on the children of Israel and of Judah for allowing that to occur, Manasseh being the one that pushed that. Look, all right, so we're not sacrificing them on an altar of Molech, but we're sacrificing them on the altar of convenience. The result is the same. You have babies losing their lives, and we have blood on our hands as Americans. We need to reverse that. We need to change that. We need to repent of that. We need to pray, and we need to take our stand for life. And when we do that, knowing that when we've prayed and when we've prepared and when we've taken our stand, we just keep standing, no matter what. Until next time.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.